All right. We left off in John 14 last time, so we're going to pick it up right at the very beginning of chapter 15 and pick up the story that's continuing on right after the Passover. Jesus Christ has just instituted the symbols of the bread and the wine as his blood and body. And now he goes into this discourse. It seems that they're leaving the upper room. Different scholars argue about that, whether this is a continuation of the discussion they were having or whether they're on the way. In some ways, it does seem to indicate that they're probably on their way to the garden, ultimately, where Christ is going to petition the Father. And so it picks up the story from there, beginning in chapter 15, where Christ begins the analogy of the vine. And so he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." So as Christ begins this analogy, he begins to point out a relationship between his disciples and us as well, and God himself. He'll eventually get into their relationship not only with God, but also with each other. And then finally in this section, he's going to talk about their relationship to the world as well. So chapter 15, in a lot of ways, is about relationships, and it starts with the most fundamental relationship of all, is our relationship with God, the one that's supposed to be first and foremost in our life. And he starts with this idea of the vine. And of course, the vine was something that was very symbolic in Israel. If you remember your history at all, there was a vine that was on the temple itself. And so some speculate that maybe the disciples were walking from that upper room, were passing near the temple where they could actually see it, and there was that image of the vine that was on the temple itself, and Christ then began to speak about it. And of course, it is ultimately symbolic of Israel itself. It represents them throughout Scripture. In fact, back in the Old Testament, we're going to take maybe just a couple of minutes to give you just a little bit of backdrop. Back in Ezekiel chapter 15, at the very beginning of that chapter, we have a whole section here about the vine. And this particular section seems to fit in very well with Jesus' description of himself, Christ being that true vine. And so he begins in Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 2, it says, "Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? The vine branch which is among the trees of the forest. Is wood taken from it to make any object? Can men make a peg from it?" And he goes on to describe this particular vine and what ultimately is going to happen with it. In verse 6, he says, "Therefore thus says the Lord, like the wood of the vine among trees of the forest, which I've given to the fire for fuel, so I'll give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem and set my face against them." And so here we see this analogy of, you know, what is a vine supposed to be used for? Well, it's pretty useless if you're going to try to build a fire with it. It's not going to burn very long. You want big hunks of wood to do that, not just the pieces of a vine. And so Christ draws that analogy. In fact, as you look through Ezekiel chapter 17, just a couple of pages later in my Bible, also contains more imagery of the vine. In this particular chapter, referring to Zedekiah at the end of the kingdom of Judah, just before Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in, and where he was set up by Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, and the difficulties that they faced there. Ultimately, Israel and Judah as well would be over. And so we see this imagery of the vine and this concept of some being cast off and some being honored. And so Christ may have some of this in mind when he gets to the end of his ministry, just before the crucifixion, by saying, "I am the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser." And of course, if you flip back to John chapter 15, this is, if you remember all the way back at our introduction to the book of John, one of the keys that we were looking for were some of the statements that Christ made saying, "I am." And this is one of those statements. He compares himself to the vine, the true vine. "I am the vine." Remember, he also said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way." All of those are found throughout the book of John. And so John records this particular statement, telling us something more about Jesus Christ himself and his relationship with us and his relationship of the Father. And so he begins to point out, a vine has to bear fruit. And so he says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, verse 2, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And so here's this analogy that Christ himself uses, and he's drawing this special connection that we have to have between Jesus Christ and the church, almost like the analogy of the body that the Apostle Paul uses in Corinthians. You know, the head of the church is Jesus Christ. We are the body. And so we see we cannot be separate from the Father. And it is also interesting that he points out the significance of God the Father as well here. You know, the mantra in Protestantism is all you need is Christ. Christ is all I need. And they, in a sense, shortchange the Father himself. And yet, verse 1 gives us insight into what the Father is doing as well. So if you look at these first two verses, we see, well, first of all, it's the true vine, right? Christ is the true vine. Not just any old vine, but he's the genuine article. He's the right kind of vine. And of course, immediately that draws those images of he's not a counterfeit. And we know who the counterfeiter is. We know that Satan, the devil, is the counterfeit. Christ is the true vine. And he shows the importance of the Father by saying the Father is the vine dresser, or literally the farmer. He's the farmer. And it takes a skillful farmer to help that vine bear the kind of fruit that it needs to. So what does a farmer do? What does a vine dresser do? Well, he tends that vine. He waters it. He protects it. He cultivates it so that it's going to bear the most fruit that's possible. And he's indicating that's what the Father's doing. Isn't that interesting? It's not necessarily Christ in this analogy doing that. It's the vine dresser. Christ says he's the vine. The Father's the farmer. He's the vine dresser. And so he says that he's the one. Look at verse 2 again. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Talking about the Father. The Father cuts it off. The Father takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So the point is bearing fruit. And for you and I, that means we've got to grow in the character of Jesus Christ. We've got to put on godly traits in our life. God wants to get rid of the dead wood. He removes it, it says, and he trims off the live vine, the live branches, so that potentially more fruit will grow from that pruning. And so the Father is shown as doing that. So it's not just Christ working in us, but the Father's working as well. This word for takes away in the New King James, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. It's the Greek word airo. It's A-I-R-E-O. So there's a little play on words here we miss in English. He takes away airo, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, which is kathairo, which is a related word. It's K-A-T-H-A-I-R-O is the transliteration of it, which literally means to trim clean. To trim it clean, to trim it right. And coming off the Passover, that takes on new meaning. A lot of times we'll read this section and not even remember, oh yeah, the new symbols of the Passover just happened. Well, Christ cleanses us. We are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And so here the Father is pruning us, trimming us clean. Literally that word means to cleanse or to purify. And so pruning is necessary for any vine if it's going to bear fruit. Dead wood, that's worse than fruitfulness, unfruitfulness. If it's not bearing anything, dead wood's going to have disease, it's going to have insects, decay. It's going to be a problem. So you got to get rid of that and have a vine live for its purpose. The purpose of the vine is to grow fruit, not like Ezekiel was talking about, not to bear wood, right? It's not for growing wood to burn in the fireplace. He says he's going to get rid of that sort of thing, and the Father's concerned about a healthy, productive vine. And so I think we can draw a pretty tight connection here between the Father dealing with us as he removes the dead wood, not only from our lives, but I think the greater implication is also from his church as well. You know, if you're not bearing fruit, what good is it? And so he removes it. He gets rid of that. He takes it away. And then it says it's taken to the fire. And then in John chapter 15, verse 3, he says, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." There's that idea that they've been pruned already. They've been cleansed. And maybe hearkening back to just minutes ago, really, if you follow the scenario here, when Christ was washing their feet. You've been cleansed. You've been washed. And of course, he says he relates it to the word. They're cleansed from sin because of the sacrifice of Christ. Ultimately, God's word is what's used in that pruning process. You know, like the vine dresser cuts and prunes that limb so that it bears more fruit. God's word, you know, should cut us to the heart so that we are convicted, so that we repent. God's going to get rid of the dead wood from our lives and show us what sin is so that we can repent and we can change and then we can grow in grace and knowledge. And so that then prepares us for greater service. And so he says they're clean because God's word, in more than one way, has washed them clean. Not just the spoken word, but the word that was flesh right here just got done cleaning their feet and giving them the symbols of the Passover. So some pretty powerful things that were going on in this section of Scripture. Then in verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." And so if we're in the true vine, if we're the genuine article, then he promises to be with us. He promises to stay true to us, to abide with us, to remain in us. And so what does our fruitfulness depend on? You know, if we've got to be connected to Christ. We've got to be connected to that vine. We're a branch that's connected to the vine. So that life that flows through that vine has to come out to us as branches.